This morning, we're coming close to Good Friday, and we've been talking about the blood covenant for a while. And this morning, my message is called The Arteries of the Assembly. The Arteries of the Assembly. And before, it's not working, sorry. I'm getting dizzy. So before I go into it, I just wanted to put an encouraging word out there. After having talked to a couple of people this week, I believe this will dovetail into the message. And the scripture I want to start off with is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. It says there, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, and prepared for every good work. Be encouraged by that scripture today. It's saying that there are some things like wood and clay which are very common and ordinary, but in the hand of the master, they become a vessel of honor. Amen. So God uses everyday things, fallible people, broken people, to achieve his purposes. You might see something in a museum, an everyday object like a pen. Why is it in that museum? It could have been a pen that was mass-produced, but that pen was held by someone to do something amazing, something great. Amen. And so sometimes things become special and significant, not because of so much as what it is or who they are, but because of who chooses to use you, because of the plans that God has for you. The same is true spiritually. Certain vessels are precious and valuable because they belong to God, and God has ordained them and their lives for a purpose. Amen. God chose you, and he chose me, and he chose you because he wants to use you, and he wants to make you, and he also wants to mold you and shape you. Amen. Even damaged goods are remade and formed into vessels of honor. So if you're here this morning and you feel maybe you have a sense of unworthiness or low esteem or any of these struggles that you have with yourself, I want to let you know this morning that Jeremiah says the word, in Jeremiah 18, it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord said, arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. So he's taken this marred vessel, and he's remade it, reshaped it. Amen. And I believe it's a great honor and a great privilege to be used by God. So this morning, I want to encourage you to open your lives up to being used of the Lord in your life, in your future. Amen. God, you're in this place this morning, not by accident. Is there anyone visiting here this morning? You don't have to put your hands up. We don't like to embarrass anyone, but you're not here by accident. God sets people in places at certain times, and he sets opportunities for people. And if he chooses us, all we need to do is choose him and say yes. And then all of a sudden, we get advancement comes, and we begin to understand what our life is really for. Do you believe that this morning? And he has a set place for you in the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is a big body. It goes throughout the earth, the body of Christ. And he has a place. So don't be afraid of opening your life and letting God speak, the Holy Spirit speak into your life to tell you, you know, I want to use you. And don't be afraid of that. And that's the trap the enemy has for us is fear. He wants us to fall into fear so that we will be debilitated. Remember, after Adam gave in to temptation, what was one of the first things he said I was afraid, so I hid myself. And the reason, you know, fear comes concerning our future, our self-image, and our self-preservation. If any of those things are called into question, we become afraid. Isn't that right? And so this is what Adam declared. I was afraid, so I hid myself. Self-image, shame. God clothed them. Amen. Fear of the future. Fear of the present. So I just wanted to put that there, first of all, to let you know that when you come into the body and you find your place in the body, the word says that perfect love casts out all fear. And so the place where we experience the love of God and we experience the love of others and Christ, his banner over us, his love, is in the body. Amen. The assembly. So this morning, it's like we are an assembly. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So we come together as an assembly to provoke one another to good works, not to provoke one another to wrath, not to provoke one another to anger, but to provoke one another unto love and good works. There's quite a few scriptures this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 in the Amplified says, now you collectively are Christ's body, and individually you're members of it. You each have your own special purpose and function. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now God has placed and arranged the parts in the body, each one of them, just as he willed it and saw fit, with the best balance of function. Amen. So he's placed every one of us here today, and he had a plan in mind before time as to what would happen with the people of the Bridge Church, or the people of Fullerton Church, or the people of the Mansfield, or West Kilbride Parish Church. Okay, you see what I'm saying. So he has saw fit to place people in churches and to link churches together by the grace of God. Amen. So the Apostle Paul describes the relationship between Jesus and his church like a body, a head, and a body. Have you ever seen a headless body before? It's an abomination. So there's a body with a head, and Jesus is the head, and we are the body. He is the head of the church, and we are his body. Amen. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, he put all things in every realm in subjection under Christ's feet, and appointed him as supreme and authoritative head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills and completes all things in all believers. Amen. If we can begin to understand this connection, then we can begin to realize the power of our identification with Christ, because Christ is seated on high, isn't he? So I think a lot of times we miss the connection, and because we miss the connection between the assembly, us, Jesus is the head of his body, we also have a misplaced sense of identity. So we need that to come into line. Amen. So we have to understand that as Jesus Christ is, so are we in this world. As Christ is, so are we in this world. So how is Christ right now at this moment? He's seated far above all things at the right hand of the Father, and we are as he is in the earth. Amen. Amen. So he's there. So he has been raised up. So because he has been raised up, we have been raised up too. Because he is blessed above all, we are blessed. Amen. Above all, we are blessed with him. So we, as part of his body, we have a supernatural relationship and a link with Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And because of that, we're also connected. Lewis is my brother. He's my brother in Christ. Craig's my brother. Eleanor's my sister. We're all connected. And I can't do life without these people. I don't know if they can do life without me, but that's a different story. But I can't do life without you all. Amen. So this is the body. Amen. We're fit together. And we must be properly fit together for the body to work properly. Amen. The body is not healthy unless all the parts are working. Amen. We've got to work together. Because the life of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the power of Jesus flows all around the body. Okay? So we all have organs and limbs and muscles and all and bones and all things like that in our bodies. Hey, there's one thing these things all have in common. The blood reaches every one of them. The blood goes to every single part of the body, okay? The blood goes to all. The blood of Jesus circulates around the body, amen? So we're, you know, there's messages we hear about how we're all joined together. No part of the body is less significant than another part, all right? And that's the way it should be. And we know the scripture. You'll know it. Some of you will know it off by heart. How can one part of the body say to the other, I have no need of you? We need one another. Amen? So this is the body. And the book of Acts refers to the body as an assembly in that context in the book of Acts. And it says in Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. The place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Amen. Now, I can say that I've seen the assembly of things not going quite to plan sometimes. When I work on my motorcycle or my bike, and I look at my parts tray at the end of it, and there's bits in there, I'm like, they shouldn't be in there. They should be in that machine. This thing, something's not going to run right. So sometimes assemblies don't go quite to plan. If you've ever bought something from, I won't say IKEA, because they're pretty good. I'm getting a free plug this morning. But do you remember the old days? What was the old days? MFI. You might have things left over at the end, and you're like, I'm sure they're meant to be part of this. Or you might not have enough in the, there's a dowel missing, see you later, drive to air all the way. And so these things, so assemblies sometimes don't quite go to plan, but the correct assembly is required so that the fullness of God's glory can be manifest throughout the earth. The way we're all fit together and God brings us all here for a purpose means that everything works together for whose glory? For his glory, amen? So Hebrews 10:25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's the day they're talking about? The day of the Lord, okay? So when we assemble together as believers and we're in right relationship with each other, it becomes apparent that there is a greater anointing when we are together in unity. Would you agree with that? There's a greater authority when we are together as believers. A corporate faith is produced when we go to our own companions, our own company, our own assembly. Acts chapter 4, verse 23, it says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. The New King James says they went to their own companions. Some translations say they went to their friends, all right? But they went back to the people that they regularly assembled with, okay? And so because of this, because of their obedience to this and their adherence to this, these believers had like an open, they were like under an open heaven. The church grew so rapidly and so powerfully in their time. It was because they were assembling together. And when people came and they seen the assembly, that assembly must have been awesome in some way, giving people the confidence that they could go and be a part of something and belong to a family, a real family, and their needs would be met there for the glory of God. Amen? And so we enjoy that privilege as Christians, being part of the body. And it's by the blood of Jesus that we have this privilege, the atoning sacrifice. We would never have this if it was not for the blood. Amen? So go to 1 John 1. I know this seems like a speed message this morning. I feel I'm going to need a drink of water. So in 1 John chapter 1, it says, "What we have seen and heard, we also proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship as partners with us. And indeed, our fellowship, which is a distinguishing mark of born-again believers is with the Father." So it's what distinguishes the people of God from others is the way in which, because lots of people assemble together for lots of different reasons, but the way the body of Christ, the way we assemble together is unique. Because why? Because whenever we come together, we come under Jesus Christ. We come under his lordship. Amen? So we are writing these things to you so that our joy in seeing you included, and it's wonderful to see so many new people included in the body of Christ. We give thanks for all of you who have said yes to Jesus. Most recent one, I believe, is Rosalind, gave her life to Jesus, made that decision. We give thanks for everyone here who's given their life to Jesus recently. Going back, you know who you are. It's been amazing. It's been an amazing season, and long may it continue. Amen. So we are writing these so that our joy in seeing you included may be made complete by having you share in the joy of salvation. Amen. So the purpose of us being together and assembling together is so that the church is supplied with all of the vital ingredients that are necessary for the church to not only survive, but to thrive. Amen. And so that is why we're all together, honoring one another, recognizing one another, not looking over one another as anything lesser. The Bible says, you know, it's Charlene will find this out. Well, no, because you won't, because you'll have a great healing. But, you know, if you've got, a pinky toe that's not really, it affects your whole body. It affects your gait. It affects your balance. So even the smallest part of the body not working affects the whole body. Amen? So we need to receive all the parts of the body. And that's why we receive people that we're in relationship with and connection with, because they circulate vital ingredients to us when they come. Amen? Do you believe that? And when you go to other places, we bring vital ingredients. When Lewis goes to Swaziland later this year, he's going to bring a vital ingredient to Swaziland. Amen? So there's parts of the body that circulate. There are itinerant ministers, people that go around. And I was, the last time I announced this, no, I'm not going to announce it because maybe it won't happen again. No, I will. I'm just going to. So Pastor Tom is going to come this year, and we're trusting that he's going to come. Last time he wasn't able to make it because of health reasons, but we're believing. So pray for Pastor Tom that this time he will be with us. Amen. So there are people, parts of the body that come, and they carry things with them. They carry prophecy. They carry a message. They carry a word. They move in the gifts of the Spirit, and they come and they make these things available to us. They carry God's anointing. Amen. And so these carriers are all around us. They might be over us in the Lord, with us in the Lord. I'm not distinguishing classes here, but that's what the Bible says. Obey those who are over you in the Lord. But all I'm saying is there are people all around us in the body, and they come and they bring something special to us. Amen. We need them for our growth. We need them for our health. And when we begin to cut off parts of the body, when circulation begins to stop, parts of the body begin to die. All right, this is the point I'm making. So we cut off potential revelation. We cut off, we don't receive things, and we go into isolation, and we miss out on the knowledge that we need to go forward. You might miss an event or church sometime and miss the person who has something to speak directly into your life. That's why whenever it's possible, I urge you to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Whenever it's possible, be in church. Amen? Amen? I'm not using that to beat anyone over the head. I'm just saying that it's God's will for us to assemble together. Amen? So that we can be under the anointing. So that we can have that corporate faith and everything else that we need. Amen? We can't do the will of God by ourselves. We need one another. 1 John 1:7 says that if we really walk in the light, that is, if we live each and every day in conformity with the precepts of God, as He Himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another. He with us and we with Him. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin by erasing the stain of sin and keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. Amen? So if you meditate on that verse, you begin to realize that it's the blood of Jesus that circulates around the body, around the church, that keeps us healthy, that cleanses the church. Amen? Lack of circulations leads to problem, okay? So if you put a tourniquet around someone's leg and you left it there for too long, it would stop the circulation. I know there's nurses and probably medical people here, but that's correct, isn't it? If that tourniquet is removed in good time, if it's not removed in good time, the limb will eventually wither and die, amen? And will have to be amputated. And what happens when people have circulation problems? What's normally the first thing to be affected? It's usually, as far as I know, feet, ankles, the lower limbs of the body are the first to be affected when circulation is not good. Because the blood brings restorative power. It brings the nutrients, the oxygen, and all of these different things. We need the blood to do that. And if it can't reach the parts it needs to in sufficient quantities, then that part begins to suffer. Okay? So the blood has to circulate all the time. Amen? How long does it take for your blood to move around your body? Well, if you're a wee person, maybe 30 seconds. And if you're a big guy, maybe 60 seconds for the blood to circulate all around your body. But what is it doing? It's always going around your body. It's repairing and restoring damaged tissue. And what else does it do? It removes contamination, and it's filtered by other organs in our body. Amen? So when the blood's not circulating, the contamination is accumulating. It's building up, so we need the blood always moving around. Amen? So the cleansing is a continual cleansing, amen? The arteries of the assembly, the blood moving around the body of Christ, the blood moving in our lives, us always remembering the blood, praying with the blood in mind, gazing at the cross, remembering the blood and using that, amen? Because it's got everything that we need. It's got redemption, it's got healing, it's got forgiveness, it's got blessing. The blood removes guilt from us, shame and condemnation, fear and torment. Amen. The blood supplies what we need, and it removes what we don't need. And that's what I want to say this morning. The blood supplies everything that the body needs, and it gets rid of the things that we don't need. Now, between this Sunday and next Sunday, I guarantee you, I'm going to be back here having in need of removal of some stuff that was accumulated during the week. But I'm back with the body, and some of the trash that's built up during the week, I don't have to wait till Sunday, but we need this blood circulating so that it removes this. The devil's plan is to stop the circulation of the blood in the body of Christ. He doesn't want the blood of Christ. He doesn't want us to to meditate on it. He doesn't want us to pray it, to plead it, to declare it, to, you know, for all of the, he doesn't want us to come around the table and remember it. He wants to stop it. Amen. Because if he can cut off the blood from the body, he can isolate that part of the body, weaken it, and it will leave. It'll fall off. Amen. And so Christ doesn't want that. We don't want that. We want everyone to come to the knowledge of Jesus and understand that you might feel unloved, you might feel unworthy, but there's a body here, a family that will receive you. Everywhere there's a place for people to belong. Amen. And so love conquers all. The agape love of God is the love we're talking about here. And it's a kind of love that, you know, it doesn't dwell on the negatives. It chooses to find what is good in a person. I think that's the love of God, chooses to see what is good in a person. We all know that we have areas of, in our lives, sin and contamination. But it's God's plan for us to be cleansed of that, to be sanctified and to be set free. But we see through God's eyes, other people through his eyes, through eyes of love. And love chooses to find what is good in a person. Amen. And so we have to have at the center of the body, the thing that pumps the blood all around our bodies is the heart. And that's where love that resides in us. It's the hearts to have. When we talk about having the Father heart of God, it's about having that love of God, the agape love of God for other people. John 13, 34 says, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love each other just as I have loved you. And so just as you love each other, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. Amen. So the only way we can get along with God is if we get along with people, because that's what it says. So how can you say you love God and hate your brother? We can only get along with the Lord if we can get along with people. That's quite a bold statement, and it might be a very challenging one this morning. You know, many of us probably wish that verse said something like, you know, if you love me, you will be my disciple. But it didn't. It says, if you love one another, you shall be my disciples. Amen. So if any of you, I know Barbara and Mary will remember Pastor B.B. Hankins, who was my dad's first mentor in the Lord, and he's passed away for a long time now. And that's what he said. You can tell how you're getting along with the Lord by how you're getting along with people in the body of Christ. And that's what he said. And that is true. So if, you know, one of the first signs that you're falling out of fellowship with the Lord or falling deeper into fellowship with the Lord is really how is your fellowship with other people. Amen. God so loved the world. God loves people. And if we take it seriously that we are made in the image and likeness of God, then God's reflecting his image on this earth means loving other people. If we don't have love for another, how can we say that we love God? Amen. So, and the backup for that, what I just says is in 1 John 4, chapter 20. And whenever we fellowship together, the blood flows through the body, and fellowship strengthens the body. And that's why we come around the table, to remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just wanted to throw this one in here because it was a bit of a word study just as I'm closing up. We're talking about agape love there. But if you read a little bit, if you read in 1 John 4, verse 20, it says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, the Amplified Bible says anyone who works against his brother. So this is like, I don't know if you've ever experienced someone who's passive resistant. They're not outwardly against what you're doing, but there's just something that's resisting and blocking all the time. And we have to be very careful in the body of Christ, these subtle things that can happen. They're very subtle. Working against, all right, our brother. So it's not like if you hate him, as in hate and want to, you know, do them harm. It's actually, the definition is if you work against your brother. In other words, you're not flowing with him. You're going to do whatever you can. If he says black, you're going to say white and vice versa. You're going to be out of step, whatever you're going to do. And it's so unproductive and it is killing the body of Christ. So we need to know that we need to work together. So don't esteem anyone less. That's another definition of it. Don't esteem anyone less, because in God's eyes, they're a soul, and a soul is precious to God. Amen. So finishing off, Acts 4:23 says, we have a place, we have a company, a place where we can willingly bring, that's the key word, I suppose, do we willingly bring our supply to the body of Christ? And the body of Christ is all over the earth, and at announcement time, I'm going to just give you an update on what's happening in Swaziland at the moment. As you know, Lewis is going there later in the year. And this church has been involved not only in local missions, but in international missions since the church was planted. And so there is a place, even if you think, well, what can I do, little old me? Well, there's much that you can do. If we all realize that there's so much more to what this church can achieve outside a 10-mile radius. In fact, it goes to the uttermost parts of the earth. And if anyone has never been to Swaziland, which I presume is the majority of people, you never know where God will take you to. You know, the body has needs everywhere, and the blood circulates around the body. You might end up circulating into Swaziland at some point in time, just like Lewis is going to do later on this year. Amen. So, we just want to do God's will. It's God's will that we be together. Amen. We might need to surrender our will, like Jesus did. In Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but your will be done. And for those that were in Jerusalem, I think Gethsemane means the place of pressing. I think it does. A place where there was so much pressure on him that he prayed to his father and says, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But he knew that he had to go to the cross. And so he did. He surrendered his will. And if we want, I think the best way to say that is Jesus wanted what his father wanted more than what he wanted. And I think when we remember that, when we want more of what our father wants for us rather than what we want, we too will have victory. We will have that invincible spirit that Christ has, because, you know, we are made in his image and likeness. Amen. So, praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. For future content, please subscribe. And if anything spoke to you or was relevant to you, please leave a comment. If you want to find out more about the church, how to support the ministry, or connect with us, then go to bridge-church.com. So, until next time, thank you for joining us, and goodbye.